This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Anna and Dean, but the alternative Anna and Dean.
The alternative Anna Dean.
I'm very here for that.
Rebranded.
Not the Murphys, but that's because Robbie's away, so we're handling your hump day in style as only we can.
Alternative Anna and Dean, alternative lifestyle choices.
I'm very here for it. Now, Fringe Festival is just around the corner, and I'm very glad that you were able to come in and co-host for the whole show today,
it's
Anna.
It's been such a delight.
Because you have a show. I mean, well, hold on to your hat. It's not over yet. But you have a show in the Fringe Festival, and it's your first solo show in Melbourne.
Yes, my first solo show here.
It's called Queer and Present Danger. That is a great title, point number one.
Thank you.
Point number two, that's pretty exciting, but it must be kind of daunting to go, okay, this is my first solo show in Melbourne, which, because you're used to performing in Perth?
Perth is where I'm from originally.
Yeah.
And you can gather by my voice a reason why I may have perhaps moved from Perth.
And doing your first solo show and doing it during Fringe, like, you know, well, let's not dip our toe in. Let's just dive right in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, yeah, it's a stressful period, especially because the Melbourne Fringe is kind of like a moved hub. So I think it's a very big kind of like flux here. So we'll see how it all goes. But I'm excited because I'm doing it at my absolute favorite venue in Melbourne, which is the Butterfly Club.
Such a great space. Yeah.
Which is, and they've got such a beautiful program of like all eclectic.
Well, this is what I love during festivals and things like that. They pack them in and there's such diverse shows there. So it must be really nice to be with so many other queer performers as well.
Yeah, and not just queer performers. There's queer people running the bar. There's queer people behind the scenes. It's just like the niftiest little like hideaway venue that you can still bring your like grandma to if you want.
So
like
true.
It's still safe for her.
As a trans person, was that kind of important for you when you were looking around somewhere? Or did you just go, I like this place. I'm comfortable there. Let's rock and roll.
No, it's very important to me because the show is it's all about transition, but the title Queer and Present Danger, it's not just like a ha ha funny pun.
Yeah,
though it is that, it's a very good pun, thank you. But it's also because there's all this scaremongering that's happened recently.
I did not notice, except it's all I bloody well saw.
Yeah,
are you just gonna have copies of The Australian to hand out to people as
just fly people with that? Yeah. After the show, just the Bernard Lane guide to trans people. Yeah, so there's all this scaremongering, all this fearmongering, all this stuff about kind of like who trans people are and what we're trying to do and everything like that. So I thought like, well, the best way to do that is to just do a show where I kind of talk about what it's like to be trans, take you through kind of like a chronology of being trans, and as I'm going, like, debunk those various different myths.
That's pretty cool. You know? That's pretty huge as well. Like, there's a lot going on with that, and you've got doing a one-hour show.
Yeah,
one-hour show. Squeezing it all in 1 hour, and there's got to be room for comedy as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. You've got to make everything funny. So, but it was important for me to have, like, a venue where I can get cisgender people to come along, get transgender people to come along, get people who don't quite know if they fit into either of those categories, and have them, you know, experience it. So it's kind of like a double-edged show. Like, on top of everything else I'm trying to do, it has to be funny for the trans people, has to be relatable to them, but also make everything clear and explainable to the cis people.
I mean,
in a way they can understand.
I reckon there's going to be a lot of fun to be able to play with that. It's interesting that you've dived in this way, because you were saying before it's been 2 years or 3 years since you transitioned.
2 years since I've transitioned. I did a show right after transitioning,
yes,
called Almost Lesbians which the very funny Sophie Joski.
That was the last time we got you in here.
That's when we first met.
Yes.
And we've been in love ever since.
So true.
Which, you know, very good show. Got nominated for the Golden Gibbo, which is a very prestigious award. No bragging.
Well, this is what I think. Like, you're making your show about transitioning. You're making it this really big focus. But you are a comedian, not a trans comedian. And that must be that, you know, you have to kind of introduce your audience into things, as you're saying. And this is me, and this is the narrative, and this is the focus of my show. But you've also got to remind them that I'm just a woman standing here being funny.
Well, exactly. When I first started doing comedy after transitioning, kind of had that in my head of like, I don't want to change my jokes. I don't want to do, you know, I want to be like the same comedian because this is just like a category change for me.
Yeah.
And it should, but
But you kind of have to, don't you?
I have to, because I walk out there and it's almost always cis people in the audience, and they almost always don't know what I am, and they get confused and they get distracted by the confusion. So I had to go out there and kind of like address it straight away. Like, I did a show, like, recently where I didn't mention I was trans until halfway through the show. And then when I finally did, this one in the front row has gone, oh.
Oh, really? I just...
like, it finally, funny. Oh, okay, I get it now. I'm like, what were you wondering for the entire show?
Yeah, it was in the back of your mind the whole time.
Just her for the show just going, maybe Russian.
But I think there's something pretty cool. Maybe Russian. I think there's something pretty cool about that because... the audience jump on the moving train with you from the start.
Yeah. So
like you haven't got time, so it's just you fire out from the gate and then they're in the carriage with you and down you go down the track.
But my kind of psychology has flipped about it now because instead of being like, oh, I don't want to talk about trans people, I just want to be a comedian. I'm like, well, no one else is going to talk about trans people and I do it very well. So why not embrace that? Like, you know, like
people find the fun in the narrative as well. Like it can be for trans people and for cis people, it can be really daunting when you're just like, what do we do this? How do we do it? What's going on? And suddenly to find the fun in it and to actually go, you can laugh at this. It's okay. Well, can change it all.
That's the other thing as well, because I very much like my conscious like decision writing this show was that like I was so sick of everything I was ever seeing about trans people being the tragedy and the trauma and the pain and oh my god it's so much grief and my family doesn't accept me blah blah blah, like all those things are real, but there's so much joy in transitioning, you know, there's so much love and acceptance and being yourself and funny things and awkward things and all these other experiences that aren't the tragedy. And honestly, for me and for many of the trans people I know, the tragedy is the life before transition. The life after transition is not that at all. Life after transition is a wonderful period for so many people.
Well, there's the extra narrative that I always am entertained by that you throw in is the fact that you are still in the same relationship you were before you transitioned.
Yes.
So you've gone from being a straight man to a lesbian. Is that the best explanation?
To external viewers, that would have been, I mean...
I did it again, didn't I?
Yeah. The way I like to think of it is I've always been a woman. It just took me longer to realize than most. Yes. That's my way of...
I can't believe in trying to explain it properly again. I screwed it up. I can actually,
it's,
you know.
It's fine. This is what I have to do to all you cis people with your privilege.
You've got to slap me around.
Just, I don't know why they keep putting cis voices on air.
But for me, I think that's the kind of exciting narrative because for everyone, they can understand certain things to a point and be on a ride with you. But then when it comes to that kind of level... It's something they can relate to in a big way because they can just go, yeah, it's your relationship. It's the person that you love. And everyone just goes, and we'll settle down now.
Yeah. And well, I mean, she's bisexual as well, so it's not a big problem for her.
Yeah.
The line I use in the show is, this might be slightly rude, but I think we can get away with it. She's bisexual, so a dick in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Okay, there you go.
Which... feel free to use that in your Tinder profiles. Just make sure you
credit accordingly.
Credit me accordingly. Mm-hmm. No, but she's bisexual. So this isn't like, I'm one of the options she was already attracted to, you know, like it's been a shift, but it's not been something she has to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, oh, how am I going to find a woman attractive? She's always found women attractive.
Oh, well, this is awesome. So Queer and Present Danger is where you get to dive in headfirst with Anna into all things trans in a completely different way. We've been seeing so much fear-mongering in the news. We've been seeing so much crap going round and round in circles. And we've seen a lot of trans people be really distressed and a lot of people in our community be really stressed. So why not take it to a different level?
This is a deliberate antidote
and have a laugh. The best medicine is a good laugh and having a fun night. And what better way to do it than with Anna Piper Scott in Queer and Present Danger at the Butterfly Club.
And if you work for the Australian, please come along. I think you'll enjoy it.
You did send a specific media release to them going, come on, come and do it. Well, get yourself to the Butterfly Club and see it during Melbourne Fringe. Queer and Present Danger is on from the 16th to the 22nd of September at 8:30. Jump onto the Melbourne Fringe website to get your tickets. Anna's not going anywhere, of course. You're my co-host, so we're paddling on along. You're on Mad Wednesdays with Anna and Dean. Queer and Present Danger, get your tickets. You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Anna and Dean, special co-host Anna Papa Scott. We've also got Simon Taylor with us in the studio.
Here I am.
Woo! Anna and Simon, you've both got your Fringe Festival shows coming up. Any tips for people on how to choose what to see for Fringe?
Come see us. The end.
Yeah. It's a great number one and two choice.
Well, you're both comedians, and we were saying earlier before, Anna, we feel like people completely forget about comedians until like 2 days before their show during a Fringe Festival. They look at these big things here, there and everywhere, and they forget that you've got comedians rocking in there doing their thing all the time. So why not book now?
Yeah, I think the reason is that people expect comedians to do something a bit more mainstream, which I think is often a false assumption.
That's a lot of money.
They're like, go see something weird, like a burlesque show or a cabaret or something like that, or a stand-up comedian's just going to do just jokes. But I think a lot of stand-up comedians use the Fringe to kind of like explore the boundaries of what stand-up can be as an art form.
I think in Melbourne in general, we push it, because I travel a lot. I see comedy in a lot of places. And I think Melbourne in particular, and in Australia with the festivals, you have to do something more interesting. You've got an hour. Because when you're in America or even in the UK, a headlining spot in these clubs, just say in the UK, it was like, 20 minutes, sometimes half an hour. Yeah. So I did in the UK when I just did the last trip.
Do you feel like then you're coasting? Because you're like, I've got an hour worth of material. Here's the start of my set.
Yeah, I want to. I want to, because you get to do something a little more interesting, creative, and talk about things that you wouldn't hear in a comedy club. So a Fringe Festival comedy show, as Anna said, is not necessarily what you see in a comedy club.
Yeah. Especially because there's certain things you can only do on stage after you've built trust with an audience.
Yeah. That's a great
point. I've got stuff. In my show, it's an hour. It's called Queer and Present Danger. Please buy tickets.
Don't worry. We'll be talking about that after the news.
No, but there's some stories that I tell that are great and I've run them past people and people love them, but I would not be able to tell them at the start of the show. I have to tell them 40 minutes in.
But everyone forgets that. With stand-up comedians especially, that's half the skill is not the work they do in the routine and everything, but it's the way in which they get the audience trust, get the audience on side, with you. That's so massive. And, it's so much better, you're right, because you've got a one-hour show, you've got more time to play with it and to stretch it around.
Yeah.
But even with that short amount, you've got to be able to grab them and get them in.
Well, people need to know that what you're saying is a joke at some point. So if you start off by showing your actual point of view and people know that, you're say left wing or you're pro LGBTIQ plus community, and they know that about you 20 minutes in. If you do like a cheeky joke about that, they go, well, yeah, we know your joke. Yeah. We know your joke. But if you open with it, they're like, I don't know about this guy. Is he or is he, not, So getting people to realize who you are means that they understand the context of what you're saying is a joke or not.
Yeah. And I guess that's harder as well with stand-up, because everyone walks in with preconceived notions when all they really want is someone funny.
Yes, and I don't know how much you deal with this, Simon, but I feel like very much since transitioning, there's a lot more preconceived notions that I'm dealing with on stage.
I never thought about that.
Like I used to perform kind of, pretending to be a straight white man. I'm still white. That part hasn't changed.
One out of three.
But still pretending to be a straight man. And people would give me the benefit of the doubt a bit more. Kind of go like, oh, well, we've seen plenty of straight men who we trust. Coming on stage as a woman and as a trans person, there's all this kind of thing of like, oh, well, these are two things I don't know to be funny,
Right.
People think women aren't funny and people think that trans people are very fragile and sensitive.
I was about to say, then people are crazy, because trans women, I know many hilarious trans women and I know many hilarious women.
Oh, it's,
and I know
it's
many
stereotypes.
Hilarious
it's
men who are afraid now because they...
Right, so you got an extra hurdle to jump at the start of the show.
But I mean, the flip side is I've got preconceived notions that I can... play with and subvert, whereas you don't have that advantage. You have to come on and kind of like let them know who you are, whereas they've already assumed who I am, and I get to challenge that rather than establish it.
Yeah, that's a big one. It's funny, there's a million of those. There's, you look too young, you look too old, you all these little things. There's heaps of those, and it's funny, you just got to know your own. I know Joel Creasy for a long time, like he came up in Perth, and he... the first two, three minutes of his set was always winning over the crowd, the Aussie bloke. Like, he's just so, he sounds it. And his first few jokes is just addressing it. So he was so smart in his strategy with that. And now he doesn't have to, because people know him.
I know, but it's that funny thing as well, where I feel like people expect him to be queerer when just go, enjoy and be funny. Simon, thank you so much
for coming and joining us today.
We really appreciate it. You can check out Simon in Super Funny Boy at the Melbourne Fringe. He's performing at the Kodiak Club, Little Blood, from September 12th to the 21st. There's no show on September 17th. Very important. Head to the Melbourne Fringe website and and get yourself your tickets. And also, when you're in a bookstore, why not check out his children's book, Sally and the Magical Sneeze, a two.
Look, he's a five-star comedian. It's a five-star book. I think.
Well, the bar is set.
The bar is set. Thanks for joining us, Simon.
Thanks for having me,
Anna,
guys.
We're going to find out all about your show.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day. Live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.